Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. Well, a new documentary is getting its Chicago premiere at the Spertus Institute in the South Loop this Sunday. It's called Body and Soul, An American Bridge. No, it's not a film about wellness, but instead a look at one of the biggest songs in the history of popular music.
My days have grown so lonely. I have lost the one and only. My pride has been humbled. For I'm her body and soul, oh babe. I was a misadventure, babe. My house of cards had no foundation, although it has tumbled. I still am her body and soul. What lies before me? The future's stormy, the winter that's gray and old. Less there's magic, the end will be tragic, and echo the tale that's been told so often. My life revolves about her. What earthly good am I without her? My castle crumbles. I'm her body and soul.
The song Body and Soul has become one of the most played jazz standards of all time, being produced and recorded by several artists, everyone from Louis Armstrong, Billie Holiday, John Coltrane, Frank Sinatra, Amy Winehouse, just to name a few. But did you know that the song was actually created by Johnny Green in 1930, who was a Jewish American? The film Body and Soul, An American Bridge looks at the cross-section of Black and Jewish American culture and how music, in particular this song, helped bridge divides. On Sunday after the film, Chicago musician Orbert Davis will be on hand to talk about the song and about his connections to it. Davis is an award-winning master trumpeter and the artistic director and conductor of the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic and one of Chicago's greatest music educators and my guest tonight on The Download. Orbert Davis, great to have you here.
Well, thank you so much.
Huge fan.
It's my honor to be here.
It's been a couple years. All right, yeah. So this is a really interesting project to be able to spend the amount of time on one song. Body and Soul. Let's talk about what you know about this. Let's just talk about the song. What sure. do you know about Body and Soul?
The word that comes to mind is irony. If I talk musically, the first chord is like the tonic in a minor key. But immediately it changes to the major key, like the relative major. But then it's like, wait, this is supposed to be a sad song. You know, and all the artists that you mentioned, they're basically recorded as ballads. Well, I would say after 1964... they were recorded as jazz ballads, which are generally extremely slow. But in the Tin Pan Alley, Louis Armstrong, 1930, they were at a faster tempo. Even Billie Holiday recorded, I think, three or four different versions of it. Again, it was so popular.
That's so interesting that a song could have different tempo and different a style throughout the different decades that it's produced in.
But it resonates. I mean, I think that's the thing. It's all about the emotion. It's the feeling. Not only for the listener who responds to the aesthetics of the theory, if you will, but also the lyrics itself. I mean, the first line, "My heart is sad and lonely." I mean, what an introduction.
You can understand why they do ballads, right?
Exactly.
The song is written by Johnny Green, and it had different iterations. It wasn't always a jazz. Even before Louis Armstrong, it was cabaret. It's been produced in so many different forms. And I guess that's what's the whole point of this documentary, to show that this one song really kind of is owned by a lot of different people.
Exactly. And, of course, jazz standards were, the early jazz composition recordings were taken from Tin Pan Alley songs and songs of the theater. And so this became a standard right away. I think Louis Armstrong recorded it in October of 1930.
Yeah, right.
Think about it. So it's not really popular yet for Louis Armstrong to take it. And once he places his stamp on it, that's it.
Well, I thought it was interesting, too, that at the same time, people were recording the song in different places. There was in England, there was being recorded.
Right.
You had Louis Armstrong, other places. But it was being recorded in different genres and different styles by different musicians and different ethnicities. It really is, when you talk about it being an American bridge, there's something truth to that, to the idea that so many different artists took it on as their own sound.
Exactly. And when you think of the larger scope of it all, the fact that it speaks to so many people, it's the perfect song for today and the concept of bridging gaps, bridging people together.
When I think of jazz standards, and makes me think about the other songs that have been recorded endlessly by jazz musicians, did they all trace back to different writers. Think about Johnny Green being a Jewish American. I don't necessarily think that jazz standard would come from Jews.
No, he didn't necessarily create a songbook, if you will. We think of the Irving Berlin songbook, the Gershwin songbook, where there's a gazillion songs that became jazz standards. And even more so, when we look at 10 years later in the 40s, where bebop was the prominent music of jazz, or the next innovation, the fact that the I Got Rhythm Changes became the standard for so many jazz compositions to follow.
In the documentary, which you'll be having a discussion afterwards, not necessarily involved with the documentary, but you're just talking about the song as you know it as a musician.
Exactly. And I'll be honest, I haven't seen it yet, so I was a little nervous about it.
Well, I mean, there's something, I saw it, but there's a lot of great talk about how Black jazz and Jewish songwriters have combined. And over the time that they aligned themselves together in the 30s and 40s, because there were a lot of ways in which the two cultures were together, and there were a lot there weren't. There was some tension. But really about how this song embodied the fact that jazz musicians and Jewish songwriters were one and the same.
Yeah, but when you think of concepts that both cultures had to deal with, in America, concept of suffering, survival, the irony. There's one note in the song that happens at the end of the first strain and at the end of the last strain, and it's a blue note, if you will. So it's a minor third that happens in a major tonality, and that, in a sense, is what bridges the two cultures. You know, the blues, the irony of, we have it so bad, but we're good. You know, we're good.
Well, the song is Body and Soul, and the documentary is Body and Soul, An American Bridge, which gets a Chicago premiere at the Spertus Institute in the South Loop coming up this Sunday. Orbert Davis, a longtime trumpeter and artistic director and conductor of the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic, will be discussing jazz music and the documentary afterwards. It's just all going to be happening on Sunday. We'll take a quick break here. In studio with me tonight, Orbert Davis. Right. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download Here, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio, trumpeter Orbert Davis, longtime jazz musician here in Chicago. Number of albums. He is the artistic director and conductor at the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic. Great music educator. A lot of stuff coming up with Orbert. But also, he is going to be doing a discussion after the film Body and Soul, An American Bridge, which looks at the song Body and Soul, which was a jazz standard written by a Jewish American, Johnny Green, back in 1930, and really looks at the history and how this song helped bring cultures together. It's getting its Chicago premiere this Sunday at the Spertus Institute in the South Loop. For you as a trumpet player, what I love about this song is it can go either way. It comes with vocals, or you can get rid of the vocals.
Exactly.
Which do you prefer?
I think when I perform it, and most jazz musicians would say that the vocals are important, because it's from the vocals that we really get the inflections. When you think of what Billie Holiday did with the song, took it in an entirely different direction because it's Billie. You know, she had license to sing whatever note she just pleased to sing it, you know. Whereas I think it's Benny Goodman stayed very close to the melody, but on the bridge, Teddy Wilson, his pianist, took it in an entirely different direction. So there's this sense of freedom.
I was going to say, I saw this in an article where it said, one of the great things about this song, Body and Soul, is that it gives musicians improvisational freedom. And talk about that. What does that mean to a jazz artist to have a song that was written that gives them improvisational freedom?
Identification. It's basically a template to be oneself. If I were to do an analysis of the actual piece, the fact that it modulates to a totally foreign key, if you will, but then finds its way back, it's not like a popular vamp that does the same thing every four measures. This song is literally a novel with chapters, if you will, musical chapters.
And I guess I ask the question, because it's been recorded so many times, is it because it does exactly what you're just talking about, and a lot of jazz musicians love the ability to have that freedom and try something new and push boundaries? Or for its time, was it the standard, meaning you had to play Body and Soul? If you didn't, people would be angry.
I'll tell you a secret. I've never recorded it, and I haven't played it a lot, so no one throwing tomatoes at me. But I think it's something that's so familiar. It's like, imagine, just as life goes on, whether we're the listener or the performer, we can stop and experience body and soul, mm-hmm. and just say, okay, everything's right with the world. I think that's where the place of the song
is. When you listen to Billie Holiday or Ella Fitzgerald or yeah. any of the crooners of the time, it just is the sound.
Yeah.
When you hear Billie Holiday sing Body and Soul, you're like, oh, this is, I'm listening to Billie Holiday. Like, this is that experience right now.
That's right.
But that, what's amazing about it is I put on the John Coltrane record, and it's Body and Soul. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm yeah. listening to John Coltrane
That's
now.
Right.
So you're absolutely right when it comes to identification, because yeah. each artist is able to make Body and Soul their song and nobody else's.
That's right. And I'll tell you my favorites. And I actually did this chronologically. Of course, Louis Armstrong, which, ironically, he was the only recording that I have. I have literally maybe 400 or 500 versions of the song.
Really?
Because I have a radio show.
Yeah, so, right, right.
You know, I just put them all in my library and
real
I
deal.
Search it. The real deal.
Orbert Davis, DCB, WDCB.
There you go. Friday night, 7 to 10.
There you go.
But anyway, as I listened, almost every recording I had was in the key of D flat major, which is the standard key.
That's the standard, right?
And it fits perfectly with vocalists especially. But Louis Armstrong recorded in the key of E flat. Which I don't quite know why, but it. I mean, I think that was his key. Many of his songs, composition. But then 1935, Benny Goodman, and I love that version because of Teddy Wilson's his bridge. I mean, he just lets loose. 1939, the bebop standard before bebop was Coleman Hawkins' version of Body and Soul, and so I did a complete analysis of his solo, and there really is not bebop cliches, but it's the way that he created his phrasing that the bebop musicians of Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie, Charlie Christian, just made that the sound that they would later innovate into bebop. And then 1940, of course, yeah. Billie Holiday. 1957, another version of Billie Holiday, when she takes this tempo much slower. We think of the modern
that's
jazz.
That's the one
ballad.
I just heard. Yeah, that's amazing. It's amazing.
It stabs you in the heart.
Yeah.
And then of course, being a trumpet player, and on my radio show, every couple weeks I have a Freddie Hubbard moment. So Freddie Hubbard plays this piece with so much soul.
As a musician, as an educator,
uh-huh.
is there a type of instrument that plays body and soul better than the other? And I don't really know what this means. I'm not a musician, but I was reading and someone said this was in the wheelhouse for tenor players. And the question, and maybe I'm wrong, that's why I looked at that and I went, I don't know what that means. But the point being, is there one instrument that is perfect for body and soul over everything else?
Absolutely not. No way. There's a version of Benny Goodman later in the years where the vibraphonist, don't tip my tongue, good friends with Quincy Jones. And I do this when I teach too. I'm always like searching, figuring out. But vibraphone, trumpet, flugelhorn, saxophone, guitar. And that's probably why everyone plays it. I mean, because yeah. It fits. Lionel Hampton. Thank
Lionel
you.
Hampton. Oh, that's so good.
It will come to me sooner or later. But yeah, it's just that piece that it resonates on mm-hmm. every single instrument.
Are there songs that have been written since that do the same? Because there are a lot of standards and people who record the same songs over and over and over. You don't necessarily see it in popular music that we might see on the radio
right.
today.
Yeah.
But obviously in the heyday of jazz music, it was important for musicians to record the same songs.
Mm-hmm.
But are there songs that have to be, if you're going to play Body and Soul in an Orbert Davis show, then you probably have to play X, Y, and Z.
It's Round Midnight.
Round Midnight.
Yeah. Definitely. Round Midnight, and then there's Hoagy Carmichael's Stardust. I would also say, in terms of ballads, in terms of songs that are similar to Body and Soul, Billy Strayhorn's Isfahan. Again, there's just songs that you hear one note and it gets you.
For you as a trumpet player, master trumpet player, who's been producing music and also directing the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic, are you partial to the standards? Are you partial to creating your own music or dealing with more contemporary music?
I'm not partial at all. It's like food. I mean, I don't eat the same foods all the time. It's like I grew up loving classical music. I studied classical music. I'm absolutely just in love with jazz. So Chicago Jazz Philharmonic does that. It's a combination of everything. I mean, and also adding cultures to that. So it's about emotion. It's about history. It's about legacy. But it's also about taking every experience forward. And that can happen. I tend to be very analytical when I, at least when I'm researching to compose.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these elements may play in. For instance, I did a project a few years ago where I took Miles Davis's Sketches of Spain, and I took the license to rewrite three of the movements. Actually, after calling Miles's nephew, I said, you know, do you think Miles would be cool with this? He said, yeah, Miles is cool. Just go ahead and do it. But I spent a good year not traveling to Spain, but studying Spanish music through National Geographic and just the sounds and pictures and people. And I would literally take faces and compose music based on what I thought they were feeling. So it's that experience in and around it. So when you hear the piece, hopefully it doesn't sound like, you know, an African-American in 2017 wrote it. No. It's a different experience.
Orbert Davis, a longtime award-winning master trumpeter, artistic director, and conductor of the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic. He's got some shows coming up in this summer in Millennium Park, which he has promised to come in, and we're going to do a big table where we sit down and talk about jazz music, especially jazz music in Chicago. I don't even want to start because we're going down the rabbit hole, but I feel like you will have the stories and understandings of what jazz means to this town and what this town means to jazz.
There's no other place in the world like Chicago.
All right, that's a date then. We're back on. Orbert Davis is going to be discussing the new documentary that's getting a Chicago premiere, Body and Soul, an American Bridge, which is all about the standard Body and Soul, which has been recorded by everyone from Louis Armstrong, Benny Goodman, Billie Holiday, John Coltrane, Frank Sinatra, Amy Winehouse. It's down the line. It feels like hundreds of people have done it. Yeah. The documentary is on Sunday at the Spertus Institute in the South Loop, and Orbert Davis will be doing a discussion afterwards about the song. Orbert, great to see you, and look forward to talking again.
Thank you so much. We will. Thank you.
My days have grown so lonely. For you I cry, for you only. Why haven't you seen it? I'm all for you, body and soul. I spend my days in longing. You know it's you that I am longing. Oh, I tell you I mean it. I'm all for you, body and soul. Can't believe it. It's hard to conceive it that you throw away romance. Are you pretending it looks like the ending? Unless I can have one more chance to prove, dear, my life a wreck you're making. You know I'm yours for just the taking. Oh, I tell you I mean it. I'm all for you, body and soul. Mm-hmm.